Welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast, the podcast in which Stephen El Trogi, Barnabas Piper, and Ted Kluck cheerfully rant about all the things that don't matter all that much. And now, buckle up for today's episode.
Hey, hey, welcome back into the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always by my boys, Ronnie J. Martin and B-Pipe, Barnabas Piper. How you doing, gentlemen?
Good.
I'm doing well.
Guys, yes. It has been a huge week for the program. You know, I mean, you try to maintain this work-life balance wherein, you continue to live the rest of your life in the midst of all the fame and opportunity that comes your way via a podcast like this. But so the other day, man, I'm checking email and looking at my phone, and stuff is just pouring in about how Phil Vischer had mentioned us on his podcast. And for a little while, I did the thing where, like, I pretend to be excited just because I don't want people to know that I don't know, you know, what something is or who something is. But then finally, I just texted Barnabas and said, who's Phil Vischer?
It was a classic moment. Very tense.
And Barnabas was very gracious about it, and he let me know that Phil Vischer was the guy who invented VeggieTales. Am I right?
He was the creator of VeggieTales and has done a podcast for a number of years, pretty successful one. And I mean, he's done a number of other creative things, but the VeggieTales thing was his big deal.
Yeah, wow, man. So like talking vegetables was that whole thing, and the thing of it is, it was strange, like. I was, of course, like a grown man when that thing launched, so I missed it on that end. And then I didn't have kids until really that had kind of jumped the shark. So I missed the whole VeggieTales window completely. But I am stoked that he mentioned us on his podcast.
So yeah, it was pretty fun. He I guess somebody had sent in a question and asked him for recommended podcasts, and he doesn't listen to very many. So he got a friend who listens to recommend, and we were the first one they mentioned. But then they went on like a 7-minute tangent about whether or not being irreverent is bad.
That was interesting.
The guy described our podcast as funny, lighthearted, and irreverent, and one of Phil's co-hosts said that made it sound like we were being irreverent to God, even though there was no context for the comment, but apparently we're blasphemous, so that's cool. Dude, yeah. We can throw
She's
that one in.
About that, man. Who was that, by the way?
I have no idea. And I don't say that spitefully. Like, I genuinely don't know who it was.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it his wife? I thought it might have been his wife or Sandy Patty or one. I don't know. It was.
Yeah. Let's go with
one
Sandy
of those
Patty.
Characters.
I don't want to speak poorly about his wife.
Because I want to think of Sandy Patty thinking about us. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's much less awkward than thinking about Phil Vischer's wife in the same way.
You know what? Right. I want to imagine that it was Amy Grant talking about us.
It was not Amy Grant unless Amy's, you know, been blonde recently.
Yeah, okay.
So it definitely was not AG. So
Sandy Patty it is. She said that we were irreverent and questioned our morality and called us pseudo-blasphemous or something to that effect.
Dude, there it is. Breaking news from Christian Entertainment, from the radio world. And by that we mean talking into our computers.
Yes, the subscribe and download on the internet world.
Exactly. Well, guys, that wasn't the only exciting thing that happened last week. We also acquired a new sponsor here for the program. Barnabas, why don't you tell us about Missional Wear?
Yes, Missional Wear. It could also be labeled, and this is actually a suggested rebrand for the folks at Missional Wear. We think that you could possibly do even better than you're doing if you relabeled yourself Calvinist Swag.
There you go.
Chaz
Marriott texted that in when he heard about it. So
and that would hit again to channel Chaz Marriott. That would hit their target demo right.
Oh, it totally would.
Spot.
Barnabas, I just looked at the site for a minute, and it's all this like t-shirts with like bearded Calvinist
yes.
like guys on it, which is what everybody in that culture is into.
Yeah,
so.
I mean their header has Spurgeon, Luther, Calvin, Edwards, some other Puritan whose face I don't recognize. We'll call him Charles Finney just to make people mad. Yeah, and then glorious beards. So it's t-shirts, it's coffee mugs, it's pint glasses because, after all, it's Calvinist swag. But
absolutely.
There's also some more artistic stuff. There's wall decals. There's, the sort of hand-drawn style, like wall hangings, poster prints. They're very artfully done. There are notepads. But these t-shirts have, like Spurgeon and hipster glasses and, you know, sort of the – the silhouette of a beard, and then a Spurgeon quote about growing a beard. Joe Thorne, if you do not have that one, you have failed in your bearded glory. So
he actually has that tattoo, that shirt tattooed like on his torso.
He just has it tattooed and doesn't wear it.
Is Mission Aware Joe Thorne's company? I mean, I think that's what we need to ask.
I don't think so, but he could easily be a stakeholder in it. Like, this stuff looks like him. Possibly a little bit.
I think
bit...
it looks legit. It's great.
Dude, I wish I was a stakeholder in it. I feel like it's going to be raining money on this company.
So if you're somebody who's looking for great gift ideas for the reformed people in your life, this is actually really quality stuff. It's not like the Lord's Gym t-shirt stuff. It has an ironic twist to it, but then there's also some very tasteful stuff too. So go take a look. It's at missionalware.com. And here's the deal, because they are offering a very nice deal. You get a 15% discount if you use the code HAPPYRANT at purchase. And on top of that, they have made exclusive Happy Rant like decal stickers that they will give to anybody who places a purchase using that code. It's almost worth it to go buy something just to get the sticker. So it's our logo on a sticker, the kind of thing you can put on your laptop or a guitar case, or you can put it on your car if you wanted to. But one of those decal stickers. So use the code HAPPYRANT, get a 15% discount in that, and get all the Calvinist swag you can handle.
Baby, I noticed that Reformed Pubcast actually has a pint glass available through that website. So I would like there to be Happy Rant pint glasses as well.
I think that only makes sense. Mission Aware, Calvinist swag, make this happen. You can do
absolutely.
This.
Absolutely.
It's getting competitive. It's getting,
it's
getting competitive between the podcasts now, isn't it, gentlemen?
Podcast wars. It's a podcast beef. It's like hip hop.
It really is.
Yeah, it's like East and West Coast, except that we don't really know where they are, and we're scattered all over the place.
Yeah, dude. Absolutely. So many people have been hurt by that, I want us to be above it as a podcast, Well,
Force Awakens.
Yeah, guys, that's exciting stuff, man. And we've got some other things to talk about. Barnabas, why don't we throw a little love to our boys at Resonate Recordings as well?
Yes, absolutely. Resonate Recordings, they're the ones who edit this. We don't do a lot of editing except when Ronnie curses too much. But they master it. They put the bumpers on it. They get me the files in timely fashion so we can get this thing posted. They also do sermon audio stuff. If you wanted to start a podcast, they can help you out. They do studio recordings for artists. You can find out more at resonaterecordings.com. But want to say thank you to them for always doing fine work and helping us out. So shout out to Resonate.
Absolutely. Thanks, boys. Guys, this is kind of the holiday extravaganza app, I'm told. So
absolutely.
That word came down from corporate that we were to do a holiday episode.
Not a Christmas episode. It's a holiday episode.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we don't want to offend anyone, and that's the way we like it. So, but I did get this as a suggested topic, and this is going to offend because it has the word Christmas in it. We were asked to debate or talk about what our favorite Christmas movies are. So I'll throw that out to you guys, and you can run wild with that topic for a few minutes.
Ronnie, you can take this one first. I feel like you have a lengthy list. You probably love Christmas movies.
I'm the consummate Christmas guy. I honestly, if I were to stack up, all the people I've ever known, I've never met a more Christmas guy than myself, if I do say so.
Do you answer the phone, Buddy the Elf? What's your favorite color?
I don't try to get that kitschy with it, to be honest, BP. But, I'm very serious about making sure that I kind of take a stroll down Christmas movie lane every year. There's like standards that I always have to watch. A couple of them for me would be the George C. Scott version of A Christmas Carol, which I think is kind of the classic version.
Better or worse than The Muppets Christmas Carol?
I mean, that's just – it's insulting to even have to dignify that with an answer. I think It's a Wonderful Life, of course, is one of the all-time greats. But here's the thing, fellas. I like all the claymations too. I like a little Rudolph. I like a little Santa Claus Is Coming to Town. I mean, there's a high nostalgic factor for all those in the air too. And some of the modern – I think Elf is a modern classic. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Elf is solid.
Yeah, Elf is solid. You don't see a lot of modern Christmas classics being made these days, which I think is disappointing. Mm-hmm. But I think those are some of the good ones. Christmas Carol, Wonderful Life, some of the claymation features.
I'm going to take issue with you on It's a Wonderful Life.
Dude, me
too.
That's
insane.
Man.
That's an
that
insane
movie.
Thing to
that
try
movie
to do
sucks.
Right now.
That movie is
depressing,
awful.
Man. It always just bums me out. It gets me down.
I don't know if you guys are joking right now, because it's like, you're not really, it's like, I mean, you guys going to start like saying something negative about the Bible next? I mean, I don't even know how to respond to that, you know?
Barnabas, no, go, man. Give him your logic, because I feel like we're going to be of one mind on this one.
Can a movie be great? You don't even know
what to say. You don't even have anything.
Yeah, I'm so floored by the fact that people think that movie is amazing. I'm struggling to come up with it. How can a movie be amazing if it's heinously boring?
You
didn't grow up watching it, did you? That's the vibe I'm getting right now.
Oh, so if you liked something at 7 years old, you're supposed to like it as an adult?
Dude, no, it's just He-Man with Christmas. I mean,
that explains my affinity for the Muppet Christmas Carol. But I think there's supposed to be different kinds of movies.
I think what happens is that it's something that creates a level of memory and nostalgia. So even if the movie in and of itself is not really like a cinematic masterpiece, it's what it evokes that kind of brings it all back for you. So,
to me, that movie is about a guy who just kind of doesn't get to do anything that he wanted to do. And he just has a bunch of people telling him, yeah, you know what? Your life doesn't actually suck, even though you feel like it does. It doesn't. See? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think that's
I've never heard a synopsis like that, Big T. That was amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you should be thinking about a career as a movie critic. I mean,
that movie, dude, I don't know, though. Am I right? Dude, is there a shred of truth in what I'm saying, though?
Yes. More than a shred. At least two shreds.
Okay.
Well, I mean, yeah, if you want to describe it in one sentence, sure. But I mean, there's some nuances in there. I mean, it's Jimmy Stewart. It's
Dude,
Donald
I know.
Reed.
I love Jay Stu. You know, he doesn't.
I mean, you know.
See, maybe it's that I don't really like Jimmy Stewart all that much.
Well, that's valid.
I find him really annoying. It's like he's always doing a voiceover for another character when he talks.
I'm with you on that. He's not really one of my favorites.
What about you, man? What are you watching at Christmas time, man? What are your Christmas time movie favorites?
Well, Elf is a modern classic. It helps that I have younger children who really love it, because it's a movie that can make adults and kids laugh, and you can generally feel safe watching with your kids is not an easy thing to come across. I would say Die Hard is one of the best Christmas movies.
See, that's number one on my list, man.
I only mentioned Elf first because it came up already. Die Hard would be before Elf.
Okay, I'm really confused right now.
Have you seen Die Hard?
Well, of course not. But I mean, why is Die Hard a Christmas?
Are you kidding me? You haven't seen Die Hard?
I would never watch a movie like that.
Dude, listen to me, man.
You're like, this is Pastor Ronnie lying to save his job.
Dude, this
no,
is
it's
me.
Not. I mean, it's not. Are you kidding? I could lose in the town I'm in. I could lose my job for having not watched Die Hard. I mean, that's
seriously, dude. Your town, man, where everybody's like toting a pistol to church and. Everybody thinks they're John McClane in that town, you know?
He doesn't know who John McClane is, but...
So, baby, let me give you the synopsis for Die Hard, okay? There's a guy, Bruce Willis. He's a New York cop. Flies to L.A. for Christmas.
So that's where you're drawing the...
No, it's Christmas. It's on Christmas Eve. He flies to L.A. He goes to the Nakatomi Building, which is this huge, you know, brand new kind of L.A. skyscraper. The building gets taken over... by Hans Gruber and his band of German terrorists. And McClane, the New York cop, kind of gets loose in the building and one by one, like, takes down all these terrorists and saves a bunch of lives so that everybody can go back to enjoying Christmas. It's outstanding, man. I watch it every year without fail.
Ted, it sounds horrible, and I don't like gun movies, so I, you know, yeah. But dude, I
really,
appreciate
no
you guys.
No gun movies for you. No gun movies for you.
Yeah, I don't do that.
Tombstone? So. Ever watch Tombstone?
Yeah, I have a soft spot for Westerns, I'll be honest with you.
Not a Christmas movie, but I would rather watch that at Christmas time than most Christmas movies.
Agreed 100%.
I have to ask, man. I just feel like you're a guy that didn't grow up watching the Christmas movies, and that's where this is coming from. Is that accurate?
Oh, that's the first half of that is definitely true, that I did not grow up watching them. But I'm not sure that invalidates my opinion, because I'm an objective third party. And when I come to these movies late and I realize that all these movies that everybody says are awesome actually suck, why am I wrong?
No, because here's the thing. Because technically speaking, most of these movies in terms of movies are horrible.
But that's what they are. They're movies.
If they evoke like the childhood memories of Christmas, that's what keeps you coming back to them.
Hmm. Pipe, let me ask you this as a follow up, man. What did John Piper watch around Christmas time? I mean, what was he throwing in the old Piper family VCR?
Piper didn't have a VCR.
Really?
Wow. Yes. So nothing. But
dude, now did he ever even do the thing where he like brought it home from church and it was like a big exciting like movie night or like you rented
a couple times? I mean, they weren't like TV is immoral. They left it out of the house because their thought was if we have it, we'll watch it, and there are better things to do. And so I didn't grow up watching any of these. I think the first one I remember watching was A Christmas Story. You know, I Can't Move My
Ralphie.
Arms. Yeah, that would be in my top five for sure. I don't know if I have five, but it would be in my top five.
That's a nice movie, man. That's a nice little movie.
See, that one I saw maybe when I was in junior high for the first time, and it amused me to no end. And then Home Alone and Home Alone 2 are both those are both excellent Christmas movies as well. Showed my kids Home Alone for the first time last year and watched my 6-year-old about pee herself laughing. So,
oh, that's a fun time.
That one's a good one. But I can't think of too many others that I would just love to watch every year. My wife loves like Miracle on 34th Street and those, and I'm glad that she has two little daughters to watch those with because
dude,
I find
those all
them bore
me.
So boring. So boring.
Yeah, I was going to say Miracle on 34th is in my top five. So.
Okay. Yeah.
The new version too, not the old version.
So what we've determined is that Ronnie is a
sentimentalist with a heart.
You love
and
nostalgia.
You guys are – describe it.
No, listen, I'm going to throw another one out, Big R, and I'm going to see if you've seen this one. This is one of our Christmas favorites. It's Love Actually.
Yes.
Either of you guys seen Love Actually?
Is that ensemble cast British one?
Exactly.
Yes, it's what I would call barely a Christmas movie, yes.
Dude, it's a Christmas movie in the same way that Die Hard is a Christmas movie, i.e. it takes place around Christmas. But,
right, exactly.
I mean, it's not manifestly a Christmas
movie. But like, Christmas is an important part of that because isn't that part of the reason why people end up where they are, you know, holiday stuff?
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought that one was surprisingly good.
I think it's really good. Yeah, very watchable. Good writing, I think. Lots of good performances. And,
yeah, it's
and
an
not
adult
boring.
Drama, though.
It's an adult drama. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're not watching Love Actually with your kids.
I think an important point is that, you know, look, if you didn't – to go back and start watching these movies having no connection with them as a kid, I think it takes away a lot of the charm of them. So to try to watch, you know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer right now as a 30-something or a 40-something, it's just – man, it's going to lack some context
for you. Oh, here's a classic that I actually like. The original animated Grinch movie. I mean, I realize the thing's like 15 minutes
long
or whatever.
I kind of like all the Grinch movies, to be honest.
The only reason I specify that one is because I haven't seen, like, was it Jim Carrey who was in?
Yeah.
I haven't
seen
that one in full. I've only seen a little bit.
Well, then, Piper, you understand totally because all the other sort of, you know, cartoony or animated classics, they're just like the Grinch. They're just like that.
Yeah.
Well, I have more empathy or sympathy for, I don't know which it is, for the animated ones than the real people ones. The animated ones, I don't know. I tend to like those more. The other ones tend to really be boring.
You're just anti-people. We get that.
Yes. Nailed it.
Barnabas, let me throw out a hypothetical scenario for you, okay? Let's assume that a friend of yours, and by a friend I mean an acquaintance whom you've never met in person and only co-host a podcast with, was actually working on sort of a crackling fire, warm sweater, kind of soft focus Christmas book, you know, like the Christmas sweater or something like that.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if this person were to publish that novel, would you buy it and read it?
I would ask for a free copy and then I would tweet about it and that would be my contribution.
Well, let me just say thank you ahead of time, BP, and I appreciate that. And I'll expect to see that a year from today when it gets released.
That's also true for the books that most of my friends write in most contexts.
Start working on a tweet. Now, Ronnie, you mentioned this sort of half in jest. Like this thing's actually happening. And you mentioned like the award you can win for it, which was named after like some woman from the 80s. It was like the Ashley Award or like the
– Yeah, it's called – well, there's a couple of them, yeah. One of them's called a Christie Award.
Oh, that was it, the Christie.
Yeah. You're just getting it confused up with that TV show about the medical doctor lady.
Right.
Or no, she was a school teacher. What was she? I always got Christine, Dr. Quinn, medicine woman mixed up.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably the same thing. The award's probably named after her, let's be honest. But yeah, that would be that would be the Christian Christmas Fiction Awards. Yes.
Christy was a different show, Ted. There was Dr. Quinn, medicine woman, and then there was another one. I think she was a school teacher.
She was a school teacher. I remember this now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Christy. So you're going to win Christy for the Christmas sweater is what we're hearing.
Well, I would like to I mean, I would hope to at least be in the running for either a Christie or a Carol Award, yes.
That you just want to – oh, Carol. So there's the Christie named after sort of the 30-something Christian woman, and then there's the Carol named after like the 62-year-old Christmas woman.
It's named after Carol Burnett, right. Mm. I'm kidding. But
that would be an award to win.
That would be an award to win. These named are probably after Carol not Spurge. That prestigious, that was Spurge. Unfortunately. But –
well,
you know, we'll see when the book drops if it wins any awards. But you know,
I'll tweet about it, and that'll help.
Dude, can you give a little insight into the cover? Are we looking at like a? I'm envisioning like a window with sort of snow piled up around it, and like a little crackling fire
and
inside the window.
There has to be a wreath on it.
You know, like one can only hope. You know? Whatever Nicholas Sparks or Richard Paul Evans, whatever their covers look like, that's what the cover will look like.
Mm-hmm. Mm. It's evoking emotion just as you speak.
Yeah. Oh, it is.
I'm not sure it's the emotions you want, but it's evoking them.
Literally, there's tears coming down my eyes right now just discussing it with you boys.
Not a dry eye in the house, guys. You know?
It's allergy season.
That's how powerful this stuff is.
You know what? We all
books
have
change
our,
people.
We all have our non-guilty pleasures. Right?
I don't think you should feel guilty about writing it.
I don't.
Good. You shouldn't.
Yeah. Barnabas, if you've learned anything, it's that Ronnie has never once felt guilty about anything yet. So
at least not anything sensitive.
He
brings a good balance to this because I don't do sensitivity terribly well. And Ted, you're more wide ranging than I am, but Ronnie is a really nice sensitive balance to at least to me.
Well, thanks, BP. Nobody's ever said that about me before. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know if it's actual sensitivity or just sort of media-related sensitivity. You know what I mean? But I guess that's what the program is for, guys. We get to
it's an exploration of self.
It really is. We get to work this out, and it's like a sociological experiment every week. You know, you get to see who we are.
So our holiday special has really meandered into the
psychoanalysis.
Yeah, this is like the post-Christmas dinner. Everybody's had too much to drink and are sharing too much. Maybe let's move on to other things.
This is like you go to your therapist and you're laying on the chaise lounge and he's like, tell me about Christmas. And then all this stuff comes out.
That's right. And we talk about all the things that our family did that angered us, but we couldn't confront it because we're passive-aggressive.
Well, I guess, and honestly, that's a good seg into another topic that really I wasn't all that stoked about. It was Christmas traditions, and that felt kind of meh to me. But I guess if we take it more in that direction,
this was posed by a listener who didn't just want to know what are our Christmas traditions, but like what are the weirder Christmas traditions? And I'll go first because our family's weird.
Yeah.
So number one, we never had a Christmas tree. I didn't have a Christmas tree until I got married.
No kidding.
Nope. My parents. So everything my parents did around holidays was they wanted sort of a one-to-one correlation with the meaning of the holiday. They couldn't find it for the Christmas tree. You know, the correlation to like Jesus died on a tree or something or whatever. That wasn't good enough. That was not a 1 degree of separation correlation. So they no tree. So we had a fairly large creche, you know, manger set that had been hand carved by a German craftsman, and they bought it when my dad was getting his doctorate over there. And so that was the centerpiece of our decorations. And then my mom had like 50 other nativity sets that would go up around the house, like little hand carved ones from every country she's visited, and there's a lot of countries. So that was the centerpiece of it. The other sort of it was just straight up awkward, was the fact that my parents could churchify any holiday.
Okay.
So every Christmas Eve, you know, we'd do like the Christmas Eve dinner, and then it would read the Luke 2 account of the birth of Christ, and we'd open one gift. And then when I was little, we would go to bed at you know, 8 o'clock or whatever. And then we'd wake up 2 hours later and get ready to go to a candlelight Christmas Eve service.
Wait, BP, 2 hours later?
The service started at like 10:45, and it was supposed to end on Christmas Day. It was a lesson.
That's just brutal.
It was a lessons and carols thing, like a pretty typical Christmas Eve. So you sing your songs and you read all the passages out of Isaiah and Luke and whatever else. And but we started it at 10:45 at night, and so that means you can wish Merry Christmas to everybody on your way out the door to the negative 912 degree Minnesota winter that will freeze your face off on the way home to try to go back to sleep to wake up like 3 hours later and annoy your parents.
Yeah, dude, I mean, Tripp, I'm still fascinated by the let's put you to bed for 2 hours at 8 before we wake you up at 10. That's fascinating. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that was when I was little. By the time I got into like middle school, I didn't have to go to bed anymore, and I just got to stay up until we went to the service. But, I mean, you've had a young child. You know that if they don't get sleep, they're little demon children, and so that would have ruined Christmas. The other thing that could have also solved it was not making me go to the service, but that never entered my parents' mind.
Dude, there's something about Northern Calvinists where they just love being miserable. You know what I mean? They're not happy unless they're miserable. They love walking out in a negative 12 degree like Arctic blast.
Well, and Big T, I love how you've made the distinction now between regular Calvinists and Northern Calvinists.
No, maybe
of
it's
course,
different, man.
You
it's
would
different.
Fit into that being from Michigan originally. I mean, you're going to have to be in that category now.
Dude, listen, when I was a kid, here was our tradition. So we went to a Presby church for a while, kind of through the I don't know, maybe the middle school, high school years, and they would do this interminable Christmas Eve service where you would show up and you would literally sing like...
Quick pause. All Christmas Eve services are interminable.
Oh, dude.
nothing ruins the celebration of Christmas like getting dressed up in your stupid absolutely. Bow tie and getting dragged to church.
Well, and dude, we would do presents. We do a lot of presents on Christmas Eve in my family, and you know, there would be this great spread of food that you had to wait for, and then you go to church. You know, you sing all 62 verses of every hymn, like, that has anything to do with Christmas.
You try to hit the notes in O Holy Night.
Oh, dude, it's just, it was this marathon thing, and you're looking around at, like, just the life force being sucked out of everyone in the room, you know. And they finally let you out, and you trudge back home to your food, and you just got nothing left in the tank, you know.
and so what ages was this? I'm trying to picture, was this, like... Ted, like in a clip-on bow tie, or Ted, dude, like no. in middle school, high school? What was this?
Dude, this is Ted, like big high school jock Ted in like
In
like a sweater and like khakis and like...
Piper, this was 2014, Ted.
Yeah, this is last year, Ted, you know.
And by used to go to a Presby church and got dragged, he means that his wife grabbed him by the man bun and hauled him to church.
Yeah. So Ted, so you're trying to tell me that there was a brief period of time when your parents, your dispy parents, were actually Northern Calvinists at a Presby church.
Dude, yeah, they did a little turn at a Presby church, man. And I would say now, like, in the best possible way, like they don't identify with all the kind of new Calvinist obnoxiousness, but they're you know, decidedly reformed in their thinking and in their theology. So I think it influenced them. But
I
just,
didn't know that. I never got that vibe. I thought they were
like
just...
they've. You know, they've journeyed to that place, and they've kind of landed there, which I think is great for them.
Interesting. But still fiercely dispensational still, though, of course.
Dude, no, I wouldn't say they were ever fiercely dispensational. I just think that early on they kind of – you know, but in the 70s and 80s, dude, everybody was kind of dispensational.
No,
you know
it's true.
I mean?
It's true.
I mean, it was just that time. But yeah, for them, I mean – you know, kind of their dabbling in Calvinism was my high school years. And it was just, a lot of sitting, man. A lot of sitting. On
I love – you use the phrase dabbling in Calvinism the way some people talk about, like, the occult.
Yeah, exactly.
Or drugs.
Yeah, they started experimenting, you guys. It was really crazy.
It's like it was sort of a Haight-Ashbury kind of weird
Haight-Ashbury.
Vibe.
It was a wild time. In there.
It's like going to missionaware.com and doing some tentative clicks on some orders.
Tentative clicks. You know, they looked at some things. Yeah.
But that's mainly because they couldn't use the code HAPPYRANT and get 15% off and a sticker.
Well played.
Now that's good
well
radio
played.
Right there.
That's right. Product well placement. Played. Oh, I thought of another tradition that we had along the just the weird churchy lines. So Christmas stockings, one of the most traditional things. You hang them up on the mantle and Santa Claus or whoever's playing Santa Claus comes and fills them up with all sorts of trinkets and goodies on Christmas Eve. And you can run down on Christmas morning and get them. Well, Santa Claus is not in the Bible, so he did not make an appearance at our place. And so we didn't do stockings. But my parents were not they were not opposed to giving gifts and things like that. So what we would do is what my mom called, what did she call them? Shepherd's pouches.
Oh my
because
goodness,
that's
dude!
Biblical.
That is so priceless and awkward.
Isn't it amazing?
That's amazing.
So
I mean, Ted, like for literally from this day forward, Ted, we will be doing shepherd's pouches for the rest of our lives.
Yeah, Big R, I want to get a shepherd's pouch from you.
But this wasn't just straight like I come down and find a burlap sack, which is what they actually were. Full
dude,
of
they were not burlap.
They
sacks.
Were straight up burlap. They were drawstring burlap bags. But
decorated or adorned in any way, or just plain straight up burlap?
It's hard to decorate.
What, burlap's not good enough? For
it's
you,
hard
BT?
To decorate
I mean,
burlap.
Dude, no, I just want to make sure the burlap didn't detract from thoughts about Christ.
It was straight burlap.
It's really hard to decorate burlap. It's absorbent. So
unedited burlap.
Unedited raw burlap.
Yeah, and
vintage
and
burlap.
No blended fabric because Leviticus says that's against the law. But so what we were supposed to do was put like a gift in it at night, you know, so a dollar or whatever we had collected. And this would be something that my parents would then give to like a crisis pregnancy center or something like that. And so it was like an exchange of gifts where like we made our offering as a shepherd, I guess. And then we got cassette tapes and books and stuff back. I'm not sure the biblical principle for the for that type of thing. But yeah, so that was you're getting a picture. So Christmas Eve consisted of, you know, dinner and Luke 2 and then going to bed and going to the service and dropping 84 cents in a burlap sack and waking up the next morning to like DC Talk cassette tapes or something like that.
Yeah.
It was pretty tremendous.
Wow.
And all of that this in the glowing light of our fireplace with no stockings above it and the hand-carved wooden nativity scene sort of glowering at us from the table in the corner.
Dude, so you're telling me you never had the experience of you put up the tree, you get all the lights and stuff on, and then you turn off the lights in your living room and you just kind of look at the tree. You never did that.
You do the ooh and the ah.
Yeah, no ooh and ah. I mean, a wooden nativity set, when you turn the lights off,
it's kinda, just dark.
It
so
kinda
it just
disappears.
Sort of like you would trip over it.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, it was up on a table, so and it was kind of so we wouldn't like trip over in the middle of the floor. But yeah, no. So my first Christmas tree experience was after I got married, and my wife had to teach me how to decorate a Christmas tree.
BP, I mean, that's there's a lot in that statement. But here's my question:
unpack
are
that.
You? I mean, did you get written out of the will when you started putting up a Christmas tree? I mean,
no. So here's – this is – shout out to my parents for this. They have continued to grow and develop as people as they have gotten older. A couple years ago, they were living in Knoxville, so just a couple hours away from us for a year after my dad retired from the pastorate. And we went over to their place and we have cousins who live nearby who own a Christmas tree farm. And so they took my daughters to go cut a Christmas tree – and set it up in the house they were living in. So they had a Christmas tree. Now, my younger sister, who was living with them at the time, she was just before she went to college, she had some say in this too and had been gently putting pressure on them. And, of course, being the youngest, she gets things that I never got. But so they have had a Christmas tree for at least 1 year. And so it's not – they caved. They
Piper,
they saw the light.
World.
One of the two.
It's a cruel world, man.
But I was so proud of them for not being stodgy and sticking the mud about it. So that's I'm impressed when somebody's almost 70 and willing to try new things.
Yeah, man.
Dude, how feasible is it that you could produce one of those burlap sacks, man? Are those still in circulation?
Well, I'm gonna be at my parents' place for Christmas this year. I will see if they are among the decorations, and if they are, I will
dude,
snap a photo and
yeah,
share
I'd
it.
Love a photo. I was just gonna for say, sure. Yeah, I'd love to see that.
In fact,
well,
I may just text my mom and see if
I'll
she
make
can
sure
send me
you get
one.
Yours by the 17th.
Shepherd's pouch.
That's right. Shepherd's pouch. Loose change in, cassette tapes out. It's magical.
I love it.
I'll put a Cree DVD and 84 cents in it, and then you can exchange it for something and send it back to me.
I'm gonna put in a copy of Die Hard and my own 84 cents, and we'll be square.
Ronnie, did you have any really fun Christmas traditions?
I had exactly no bizarro, crazy Christmas tradition.
Oh, that's true,
because
you grew up watching like all the classic movies and stuff. You had like the idyllic Christmas experience as a kid.
I mean, it was Christmas tree 3 weeks before. It was one present on Christmas Eve. We didn't do church services on Christmas Eve because that was family time.
Because your parents loved you.
That's how evangelical we were. Christmas morning, we could wake up an hour before the parents, open our stockings, parents come down, we make the coffee for them. We open up all the gifts. We have the big dinner. It couldn't have been more traditional and less weird and crazy.
What did you do? Like, so this always interests me. So my family did more or less the same thing in the mornings, you know, the presents and the breakfast and the coffee and yada, yada. After lunchtime, like, you have a whole afternoon of emptiness. What did you do with that time?
Yeah, that is the time where, you know, everybody is like half passed out laying around the living room.
Especially and, after, you know, the when midnight young, Christmas
you're playing
Eve
with
service.
All of your toys. And, mm-hmm. you know, you're just sort of basking in the glow of all the greed and the avarice and the gifts. And, and you know, dad is half passed out on the couch watching some game. Mom is literally slaving away in the kitchen, you know, preparing the food. You know, company is kind of coming in and out. It's just – it's mayhem, basically. It was mayhem.
Yes. So. No. And the fun thing is now that we've gotten older, you know, so if I'm ever with any of my siblings or anything like that – Christmas night is movie night. We go out to whatever because awesome movies are always releasing on Christmas.
That's
you know,
true.
So whether it was I think one year was The Hobbit and things like that. At least I shouldn't say awesome movies, blockbuster movies. That one was decidedly not awesome.
Right.
But that has become sort of a fun new Christmas tradition is hitting the theater on Christmas evening once the kids are sort of all passed out.
Right.
Did you guys ever go Christmas caroling? I can totally see you just like standing there with snowflakes falling and singing,
well,
"We wish
California,
you a Merry Christmas."
Except he was in LA. It was like 86 degrees.
It was 92 degrees. We were sweating with our scarves on.
Right.
And singing "Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas." But, you know, it was great. And, you know, we're going to be doing a little bit of it this year. I mean, I fire away, boys. I mean, I like it.
Oh, really? Christmas caroling is the worst idea ever. It doesn't add Christmas spirit. It makes people stand there. Now, again, I grew up where it was freezing cold in December. It makes people stand there with their door hanging open, shivering, while more shivering people badly sing songs that are overplayed.
Yes. Yeah.
And then if they know you're coming, they might have like terrible shortbread cookies waiting for you. If they don't know you're coming, it's just sort of like, thanks for interrupting my evening. I'm going
No,
back
they always
to-
give you something.
Piper, dude, it's invasive and awkward. Those are the two words, I think.
Piper, it's just hard. It's hard to hear from the guy that grew up without a Christmas tree. You know, I don't know. I don't know what to take from you. I don't know what to take and what to leave. You know?
Well, it sounds like you're leaving most of what I had to say about Christmas. But which, I mean, that's not entirely entirely problematic. But I mean, I listeners can chime in when they hear this. You know, hit us up on Twitter. Christmas caroling, awesome or awful? I'm big thumbs
down here. You know,
look,
let's be honest. I'm not going to deny that it's not a little awkward, but I think most things in life that have the potential to be awesome are kind of slightly awkward too. I mean, you know, let's be honest. You know, it's
and then it's and then some things that are awkward are just awkward,
right? And you're saying caroling is one of those things.
Right, exactly. It did not sort of reach a full realized potential of awesome at any point.
I think if you're with the right group of people, the awkwardness can become a, you know, an opportunity for some hilarity.
Right, it's the group that said it's freezing out here. Let's go to Starbucks and grab coffee and hang out instead of interrupting people's evenings.
I mean, you know, you realize what happens when you start walking up the street is you end up you have these grand visions of like doing all of these like blocks and you end up doing two houses and then you run to Starbucks and get your red cup and your coffee and you're ready to go.
Yep, and
that's
then
really
you get condemned
happens.
To hell because red cup.
Right. Well, of course. No. Yeah. Right. You just right. You get to you know you get to weigh in on Twitter. You know, it's
fellas,
great.
Fellas, you know what? Like the shepherds. We've wandered to and fro this afternoon. So,
but don't forget to leave your pouch,
dude. You know what? I'm gonna close the burlap shepherd's pouch on this episode. If I could, man. You guys got anything you need to add or want to add before we sign off?
Simply to say again, thank you to our sponsor, Missional Wear. Go to missionalwear.com. Also, Calvinist Swag is the name of the site, in my mind. So, missionalwear.com. Use the code HappyRant. Get 15% off and an awesome Happy Rant logo sticker that you can sport and show off how awesome we are too.
And you know what, Missional Wear? Maybe we could get a Happy Rant shepherd's pouch design.
Yes, a Happy Rant burlap sack.
So that we can all do Christmas in the right God-honoring kind of way. So get to work on that. Because nothing honors the Lord more than swag about your podcast.
Amen.
So, guys, Amen. We've wandered to and fro. So until next time, Rachel the Held Evans.
In a world where relationships are easily broken and often discarded, the Rebuilding Us Marriage Podcast is your lighthouse, guiding the way to hope, restoration, and transformation in Christ. I'm your host and marriage coach, Dana Shea. Join me as we discuss the necessary tools for rebuilding marriages from adversity, betrayal, and disconnection. It's time to reignite love as we rebuild marriages from the ground up. Listen to the Rebuilding Us Marriage podcast on lifeaudio.com or wherever you get your podcasts.